Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
Good morning. It's good to be here. You know, I was standing backstage and just kind of, I was worshiping and listening. And I just want to say this, I'm super proud of you guys for being here on a Sunday morning, 4th of July weekend. When you could be out on the lake and, you know, soaking up the rays, and yet you've chosen to be here to worship the Lord, and that speaks volumes of who you are, and I just want to encourage you in that. It's a privilege that we all have to be together and to worship and to just connect with one another each week, but also just to hear from the Lord. And so, you know, I want to pray just for a second that God would give me His words and that this would be about Him and not about me or anything else. So, Father, I'm grateful that you speak to us through your word. I'm grateful that you use it in such a way that we can identify. And so, Lord, I just pray that again this morning, that I would be clear, that I would speak only what you would have me to say. And God, that we as the collective group, the body, would be willing to hear what you want to teach us. And so, God, I love you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those of you that are perhaps visiting or haven't been with us over this series, we are in a series called I Am. And if you remember, if you were here, we went back all the way to week one where we went back to the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, and we talked about how God revealed himself to Moses through the burning bush. Some of you are familiar with that story. Well, in that story, God revealed a very intimate name to Moses, and he said, I am. You guys remember that, right? And really, when God is saying, I am, he's saying, I am the self-existent one. I am holy. I rely on no one else. I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Okay, God is making a statement to Moses that is very, very clear. He's saying, I am above all. Take off your sandals. You're standing on holy ground. You guys remember the text. Well, the series is really going back to the book of John, because Jesus makes a very bold statement several times through the book of John. We know them as the I Am statements, where Jesus says, I am. And what he's saying is, I am God. I am the one that your forefathers worshiped and knew. I am self-existent. I am holy. I am the righteous one. I have come for you. So it's a picture Jesus gives us that is so powerful, because when he makes his I am statements, he demonstrates those and his authority and who he is by doing a miracle. Well, this week we're going to unpack what in John chapter 10, where Jesus says, I am the door or the gate. So I will probably use both words today, because translations are different and interpreting whether it's a door or a gate. When I use the word door or gate, they mean the same thing. You guys with me so far? So Jesus makes a very profound statement, and I believe to answer the question, why is he the door or the gate, we have to look at some context. So I know a number of you love history. Context is so important to us, because it gives us a lens. We have to go back and ask the question, how was the original audience? What was the authorial intent? What did the author want to communicate? And who was the audience that he was speaking to? And when we understand the context of that, we can kind of dive into that story and get much more than just a surface glance at it. The people that were there at the time knew exactly what Jesus was talking about in John chapter 10. See, John chapter 10 on the surface is about sheep and a sheep pen and a shepherd, okay? And Jesus is very clear to use this analogy. And I was thinking about in our culture today, I was actually going back about 30 years. And 30 years ago in North Idaho, if I stood up here and gave you a logging analogy, you would really understand what that meant, because logging was very central to our culture back then. Tipping over trees and hauling them to the mill. The mill employed a large number of people. Things have changed now. But in the context, of a Jew, sheep and shepherd was at the core of who they were, very much so. They knew the importance of sheep because sheep provided food, milk, clothing, and even the central part of their sacrificial system. You guys remember Passover, right? So they had a long history with sheep and shepherds. They still do to today. So I thought it would be good for us to just talk about sheep for a minute. And you know what? Maybe some of you are real familiar with sheep, but here's what I do know, what little I do know about sheep. They're one of the most helpless animals on planet Earth. Watch this video just for a second. Isn't that crazy? Oh, my word. You know, it's funny. God uses the metaphor of sheep to help us look in the mirror about ourselves, by the way. Do you realize sheep will put their heads down and they'll graze? They'll graze and they'll graze and they'll forget where they are. So my question for you is, do you ever like walk from one room in your house to the next, and when you get there, you're like, what was I doing here? And you actually forget where you are. I'm the only one in here. Oh, so you are a sheep after all. They are incapable of finding their way back to the sheep pen. Like when I take my lab out for a walk, I get to the end of our road and I just tell Gunner, I just go home, Gunner. He knows exactly where to go. Sheep have no homing instincts whatsoever. They get lost they just don't know where they are. Anybody in here ever get lost? They're very vulnerable to injury. They're very susceptible, which I think if we're honest with ourselves, we are a vulnerable people. The way they're made, is the way God created them is fascinating to me because they're these big woolly bully things, right? All this wool on them with tiny hooves. They were literally drowned in moving water or deep water because their wool absorbed the water and they don't have the strength to swim. They're vulnerable. They're limited. If you put a sheep on its back, it will actually die. They have a really wide back. And if you flip them on their back, their lungs will actually get congested and they'll ultimately die from it. You have to actually right them and get them on their feet. They can't do it on their own. And what's so fascinating, we can look at all this stuff about sheep, but most of all, sheep are used symbolically by God to tell us who we are. We are God's sheep. If you're a Christian in here this morning, and I don't want to be offensive, but I mean, we can, let's have some fun with it for a minute, okay? Here's, turn to your neighbor and just go, bah, come on. You should hear that from up here. It's actually pretty fun. You know, I was sitting with my granddaughter yesterday and we were just joking around. We were playing hopscotch and just goofing around. And when she was telling me stories and we were telling her jokes, I told her this joke and I'm going to share it with you. And I'm going to tell her up front that it's corny. So just get over it, okay? Where do sheep like to go vacation? Bahamas, the Bahamas. Told you it was corny. So often we're so serious around here. It's like, we got to have fun. We got to laugh at ourselves, right? After all, we're called sheep. But to understand this text in John chapter 10, again, context is very important. We need to go back to John chapter 9 and look at the word because sometimes you guys will all read through and we'll go, hey, John chapter 10, there's a break there at the chapter. No, there's not really a break. Okay, they put it into chapters, but there is a thread, there's a dialogue that's going on that is pretty seamless here. So Titus last week preached, and he preached through John 9, But there are some things in there. Do you guys remember the story of the blind man from birth who couldn't see and he was a beggar, and Jesus saw him, and Jesus took some dirt and spit on it. You guys remember the story? Put it on his eyes and told him to go wash himself in the pool. And he came out of the pool and he was healed. And so there were friends and people that were around and they were really perplexed by this. And they were doubting whether this was the same guy or how could this happen. So they took this guy to the religious leaders, the Pharisees. And if you guys remember the story, the Pharisees were not very nice to this guy. The parents came. The word actually says that the parents wouldn't enter in at any great length to say, other than this is our son, because they were afraid that the Pharisees would throw him out of the synagogue. The synagogue was the heart of worship in that culture. And the Pharisees had so much control as, quote, the shepherds of God, that the sheep were terrified of him. And this guy, the Pharisees come back and they take another pass. What happened? They're interrogating him. And he says something really fascinating in here. I love this. This guy who was a blind beggar knew of God. Here's what he says in verse 31 of chapter 9. They're like, tell us again what this Jesus guy did, you know, and they're just rah, 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 to this guy. And here's what he says. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He's actually quoting right out of Psalm 66 here. He goes, we know that God doesn't listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. So he was just chipping back at these guys now, these Pharisees. Here's their response. To this they replied, you were steeped in sin at birth. How dare you lecture us? They threw him out of the synagogue. That's the context for Jesus talking to the Pharisees in chapter 10. Very important to understand. The shepherds of Israel were edgy and abusive and using people, and Jesus just comes right out. Listen, let's follow along in John 10. Look at verse 1. I'm going to read through the whole text, the first 10 verses, and then we're going to come back and read through them again in smaller portions and unpack them. So here's the word of the Lord. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they don't recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So that's the story that we're starting with. And one of the things that I do when I'm reading the Word of God, just to let you guys in a little bit, I will start and I will rebuild the story and I will ask simple questions to really grasp it and understand it. So there's some people or figures in here, and there's some components that we find in this text. So the first one is there's a gate or a door in here, right? You heard that. There's a sheep pen or a sheepfold. You've heard that. There's a shepherd, and there's a gatekeeper or a watchman. And then he mentions a thief. So out of all these things, let's start and unpack this and just put it together. So I want to start with the sheep pen for a minute. In this story, the sheep pen was more than likely a communal sheep pen where there were families that came together that had their little houses near each other, and that they would keep their sheep in a pen. Well, there was a gate and a fence around it, and the watchkeeper they would often hire to be the authority to let in the right shepherd, the shepherd whom the sheep belonged to. So the watchman was paid to not let in anybody, but only the shepherds that were responsible for the sheep that were in there. Are you guys, you getting the picture? The shepherd would enter through the gate to get his sheep. Those who wanted to steal sheep would try to find another way in. They'd try to come over the wall. They'd try to hide, sneak in where the watchman didn't see him, to do harm to the sheep. Jesus is painting a very a contrast, if you will, between shepherd that actually want to shepherd and take care of sheep and people who have ill motives that want to abuse sheep and take advantage of them, right? So I want to dive back into verse 1 of 10, and we want to go a little slower right now. It's, you know, guys, it's really good to just chew on God's word and let it speak to us, because you can read the story and go, oh, it's a great kid story. And we can do our bah, you know, and talk sheep language to each other. But God has something that he wants to show us in here and tell us in here. So let's listen to it, starting in verse 1. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, when Jesus makes the comment, some of your translations are truly, truly, or very truly. What Jesus is saying is, this is true. I know it personally, and I speak it with authority. Remember, we're talking about God himself, the great I am. And he's now approaching the Pharisees who have been using and abusing God's people, his sheep, and he is very direct with them. And he's saying, listen up. I stand with authority. I know because I'm him. Pharisees are, So here's what he says. Anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. Who do you think he's talking to right here? The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his sheep, his own, he goes on ahead of them and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So let's just look at some of the comparisons that Jesus is making here. The sheep pen is the kingdom of God. The sheep pen is God's people. And Jesus is contrasting himself as the shepherd against the Pharisees who have, quote, supposed to be God's shepherds, right? He compares the Pharisees to thieves and robbers. Pretty bold, huh? Can you imagine if you're on the other end of that? Why? Here's what I really believe why is that the Pharisees love the obedience of God's people for their own gain. But in this text, I believe that what Jesus is saying is that instead of them being the watchman, the gatekeeper, if you will, instead of them doing that, they have pushed Jesus, who is the true shepherd, out, and they will not allow him in to his people. You see, Jesus is coming. He's preaching truth. He's saying, I am the Messiah. I am the shepherd, he goes later on in this chapter to say. And the Pharisees are like, we ain't letting you in. We're not letting you in. We got a good thing going on here, and we're not about to let you in and screw it up. That's what's going on here. Chapter 9 is just so amazing. I mean, that he would say this. Like, they were really, really hard on this blind man and his family. They're threatened to be thrown out of the community they had known to be so valuable in their lives because they didn't like what this guy had to say because he actually knew something about the Lord's heart and he challenged him. This is very revealing about the heart of God in our lives. Very revealing. Jesus goes on in this text, though, and he wants to say, he's saying, I'm going to show you what a real shepherd looks like here in this text. So if we go back to verse 3, he says this. I'm going to read this again. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The sheep know the shepherd's voice. Here's my question for you. Do you? Do you know your shepherd's voice? It's challenging. There's a lot of voices out there to hear, isn't there? To navigate. In the Middle East, even today, shepherds work their flocks of sheep. They graze them. They bring them in and out. I want you to watch this video for a second. The audio is not super great, but I think you'll get the message here. Isn't that neat? That's pretty profound, actually. You know that even they can have multiple herds of sheep grazing in near the same water hole, and when a shepherd calls out to the sheep that aren't a part of that shepherd will stay there and drink, and the other ones will come to him. What does that reveal about us? Do we know God's voice? Are we willing to hear? You know, this text, there's something really subtle in here. He says, the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. And if you look at that, calls them by name, it's an intimate picture of the relationship that the shepherd wants to have with us. See, to call by name, in the Hebrew culture, you did not separate the name from the person. Names in that culture are super important. In our culture today, we get off in these. We name things something that maybe don't even have any relevant meaning. In the Jewish culture, names were everything. And when Jesus says, I'm calling you by name, he intimately knows you because he is your creator. And he wants to be in relationship with you. Again, the question is, do you know his voice? And unless you spend time with the shepherd, unless you spend time in God's word, you will have a very hard time hearing his voice. God's word is the place where we start when we want to hear from God. And I think the competition for voices in our culture is ridiculous. I mean, look at social media in itself, this pop psychology culture that we have, where we have such an industry in writing books on how to fix self-help, and you just need to do this. And there's these voices coming from every angle. And we're just like, well, I'll just take a little bit of this and a little bit of this and a little bit of this. And God is saying, no, my real sheep know my voice. The historical truth, not some progressive ideology sweeping through that says, hey, I want to make this sound different so I feel better about my sin. No. The shepherd has a consistent voice. That shepherd up there had a very distinct call. I had a guy leave first service. He came up to me. He goes, a friend of mine in Montana has a bunch of sheep. And he said, so I tried my best to learn his shepherd's call. And he said, I went out there and he said, I was trying to emulate the sound perfectly. The sheep completely dissed him. Like, nope, dude, you don't have it. They didn't even turn their heads. God's word is important. It's important. And you may spend a lot of time in God's word, but here's the question. Do you listen and obey? That picture right there, they were coming. Did you see them coming down the hill? They were like, hey, pronto. Well, obviously he had treats, but there was a reason why they were coming. They trusted him, right? Do you believe that God is too distant to hear your cries? I have people tell me this all the time. Years in this role that God's called me to, and had tons of people go, I just can't hear the voice of God. Here's my question. And what comes to mind actually is the word proximity. Are you close enough to where you can hear the shepherd calling you? It's summer. We want to go out on the lake. We want to go play. I encourage you guys to spend time outdoors. Corey, first service, brought up the swear word snow again. I don't know what he was thinking. But you know, I encourage you guys to get out. But don't unplug from the shepherd, from Jesus Christ, the one that you're called to worship. He's your Lord and your Savior. He has something important to show you, to tell you, to lead you through. Whatever circumstances you find yourself in, don't disconnect. People go, if I ask them the question, they say, I don't hear God's voice. And I'm like, well, what does your quiet time look like? Are you getting, well, I haven't had a lot of time for that. The world has a lot pulling on us. Not only that, but Jesus says something in here. He goes, run away from strangers. Like, don't listen to these voices. You know, we talked about progressivism and a lot of these other revisionistic views on scripture, but, you know, there's a devil. Jesus says in the text that he comes to kill and destroy, right? And there's a lot at stake right here, right? Yeah, I'm going to find this in here for a minute. Acts, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul in Acts 20. So Paul was on a missionary journey. He planted the church in Ephesus, and he's meeting with the church elders. And it's right before Paul is getting ready to go back to Jerusalem, and Paul has received kind of words from the Lord. The things aren't going to go well for you, Paul. And Paul is this courageous, bold guy, and he's like, man, I'm going to preach the gospel. I'm going to walk this out regardless of what people think, right? So in Acts 20, Paul gets with the elders, and here's what he says in verse 28. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. And after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Do you see the theme? Whenever we're in like the epistles, the letters to the churches, there's always this warning about someone who wants to drag you away with some different belief. He's telling the elders of the church, hold the line, guard the flock. It's all in the same metaphor as sheep and under shepherds. And we both have responsibilities. I'm a sheep and an under shepherd. Watch out for wolves in sheep's clothing. That's where this comes from. When you hear that term in our culture, do you realize it's biblical? It's funny to me, though, as we pick up in verse 7, after all that Jesus said, the Pharisees, it's like porch lights on, but nobody's home. They missed it. They're blind spiritually. Here's what Jesus says. Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers. In other words, all the religious folks that have come before me with ill motives are truly a tool in the hand of Satan. That's what Jesus is saying right here. He says this though, but the sheep have not listened to them. He repeats again, I am the gate or the door. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, and I have come that you may have life and have it full, abundant, is what he's saying right there. So why is Jesus the door or the gate? You know, the shepherds, when they would be out in the countryside, when they wouldn't be near a town and they'd go out looking for fields and pastures to graze their sheep, they would use a sheep pen out in the field that was basically, and I've seen them in Israel, there's still remains of them and they still use them. The Bedouins do. There's a rock wall that they construct that's circular in nature or rectangular that has a small opening to it. And they stick briars and thickles and thorns and all this other stuff on top of the walls to keep animals from coming over the wall. What's the actual gate? Do you have a picture of that up here? I don't know if this picture, there you go. It's kind of grainy, but you know what? It works, okay? The shepherd becomes the door or the gate. The shepherd is the door or the gate. You get that picture in your mind, what Jesus is saying here? I am the gate. He's the one. He's the one. Jesus is really close to his crucifixion in John 15. He's got his disciples in the upper room talking about all kinds of things. And Jesus says to his disciples, he says, I have revealed to you all that my Father intended for me to share with you. And now, instead of me calling you servants, I'm calling you my friends. Here's what he says, John 15. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. The true meaning of this here is Jesus saying is, I am your friend, I am your shepherd, and I have laid my life down for you, and I am the one that is the gate. I am the one that protects you. I am the one that takes you out and grazes and has you graze to feed you. I am the one who saves you from the evil one. I am the one who gives you rest. More on this next week. I can't wait for it. It's such a good text. Jesus says, I am the door. There's no other way into God's kingdom except through the door. He's very clear about it. The door is the entry point into the flock of God. Verse 9 of John 10, I think, is probably the most important verse in the entire text. This is what it says. Jesus says, I am the gate. Let's stop there for a minute. Jesus is not saying, I am a gate. He is saying, I am the gate. Do you get that? There's only one gate. I am the door, not a door or not a gate. The is important. He's making it very clear that anyone trying to get into the kingdom in any other way, it's false. It doesn't work. That's a sobering text. You might be sitting in your seat going, well, that's really exclusive. The one who created us, the one who's designed us, the one who loves us, the one who's chased after us, he's the one that loves us so much that he gives us free will. You guys get that? He says something in here that's really important. He says, whoever, whoever. That's very invitational, isn't it? Whoever. But it implies something else, that there is implications to how we exercise our free will. Because he's saying right here, you have a choice. If you choose to enter the gate, you will have eternal life. You will have abundant life. You will go in and out, and your shepherd will lead you. Our worship team, you guys can come on up. Exercising free will. The world tells us there's many ways. But Jesus says, which we're going to preach on in a few weeks, another I am statement. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Do you see how this all fits together? So here's my question for you guys today. A couple of ideas. The world tells us, let me read this other text here. It's Matthew 7. While we're on it, we might as well just lay it out there. Matthew 7, 13. Enter through the narrow gate. This is Jesus. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Sobering words. Sobering words. He's either a liar or he's true. Here's what I'd say. If you're a Christian in here and you've been dancing outside the pasture that God wants you to graze in, you've been running all over the place, and you're not in close enough proximity to hear his voice so that you can follow his leadership, so that he can meet the needs that he wants for your life, I encourage you, come back into the right pasture. Come back into the fold. I said at the beginning of this, I'm super proud of you guys for being here today, where we can receive what God has for us. This isn't my story. This is the word of God, the great I am. He wants you to have abundant life, but are you even close enough to hear his voice? And if you've not ever received Jesus as both Lord and Savior, I encourage you, if God is right now just knocking on your heart, inside you're doing this, don't miss the opportunity. We have people that would love to talk with you, pray with you, share with you. You guys, hey, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, right? He is a loving shepherd who wants to be in relationship with his sheep, as bent and broken as we are, prone to wander, prone to fall into holes, prone to keep our heads down and forget where we're going. Anybody in here ever find yourself doing that? He wants to meet our needs. He wants to love us right where we are. But he's not bashful or tiptoeing around the truth. He's like, if you don't come in through this gate, then you're a thief or a robber. And there's only one way. If you think there's another way, how long will you wear yourself out looking for other ways before you find the real way? I am the way, the truth, and the life. You stay in your seat and just reflect, pray, come up for prayer if that's what God's putting on your heart. Or let's just stand and worship God. Just lift him up for who he is. You got it? Sweet.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.